Hey, how you guys doing? It's me, San Martin, over here at the Prescott E-News office, sitting on the Prescott Talks little scenario in the studio, and we have a special guest, and obviously the host of it.
Hey.
Hey, we're live.
Are we on?
Yes, sir. Okay. As soon as the lights go on, man, it's on.
No kidding. Good morning, Prescott. Hey, you know what? Somebody told me that if you didn't like the weather, you wait around for about an hour and it'll change.
Yeah, yeah.
So Monday, I'm in shorts, and then on Tuesday, I'm flying a kite. And today I'm actually having showers on me on the way over here. So it's like what the heck's going on? But anyway, I wouldn't want it any other way because it's a great place to live and Prescott's my town.
Amen.
So anyway, today, thank you, San Martin. My name's Glenn Martin. I am your host. And we're joined today with Lynn LeMaster, our editor-in-chief, who is on the keyboards. If you do have a question, please make a comment in the comment section. We'll ask our guest the question, or we'll just read it out loud. No matter.
Sounds good.
Today, we have the one and only District 5 Board of Supervisor, Mr. Jack Smith.
Good morning.
Good morning, Jack. Thanks for joining us, man.
Well, thank you for the invite. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, well, it's always a pleasure to sit down and talk to you. I kind of missed the coffee cup right now, but we'll get into that in a little bit.
Used to that.
Yeah, no kidding. A little bit of background. We always start off with who you are, where you came from, what's going on with you.
Yeah, well, I'm the District 5 Supervisor for Yavapai County, and I've been a county supervisor about 6 years. Prior to that, I worked for the Ace Hardware Corporation out in Prescott Valley, the distribution center. I ran their transportation team. Great team. I really miss those folks a lot. But before that, before I was recruited up here, I actually worked for the Pepsi Bottling Group, and then I was in the Army for about 8 years.
Oh.
So, and I came from California. I'm one of the transplants. Mm-hmm. But every single summer, I used to come down here. My grandparents lived here, so my parents would drop me off in the summer, and I'd spend at least 2 weeks down in Scottsdale. And they had, what was really cool is they lived on a 1 acre parcel, and it was filled with the old grapefruits and peach trees and you name it, Changelo trees and whatnot. And that's kind of where I got the interest for Arizona. And then when I got out of the military, I said, there's no way I can go back to California. I'm too conservative. I need to just stay in Arizona. And, you know, I like to carry a gun. I like to, you know, I like to voice my own opinion. Yeah. So
California is so beautiful, though. I mean, like,
it's
really beautiful. I'm like, why do you guys want to leave?
Taxes.
Yeah. A lot of issues there.
A lot of issues. Yeah.
Well, that's crazy how life just turns upside down like that.
So you went through all this, and then you joined the Board of Supervisors. And how long have you been a supervisor?
Yeah, about 6 years, going on 7 years now. So we're about ready to kick off re-election, mm-hmm. start to collect up some signatures and whatnot. I'm hoping I go unopposed, but you know that wouldn't be any fun, right?
So this is
come on, competition's
that wouldn't be any fun. So
this is your second term.
This is my second term.
So you're running for a third term.
Yep.
Okay. And I have to bring out how many signatures you have to get because I think this is pretty
well. You would think it, as a board of supervisor, and a lot of people may not know what a board of supervisor is.
Yeah.
I go to a lot of meetings and people will say, hey, you know, what exactly is a county supervisor? They think you run the public works department or you do this. Mm-hmm. It's an elected position that actually we set the tax rate in the county. So we basically, all of these special districts that are out here, fire districts and everybody, and they're saying this is the money we need. So we set the assessment to the value for the county of how much money we're going to need, and then we pass through and make sure the treasurer is doing their due diligence and so on. So,
okay, sorry to interrupt,
but
we just now got sound, I think, so we didn't have sound.
Oh,
so
we didn't have sound?
We're Chris Cugno is letting us know we got the sound.
Hey, thank you, Chris.
Sorry about that, guys. We have a new technology that we're trying to go ahead and work out, but we will basically have this uploaded off of a podcast, and we'll have that uploaded as soon as possible. If anything, we'll repost this video with sound behind it. So forgive us. If you guys did not know who we are sitting here with, we're here with Jack R. Smith, the legislative policy holder. Is that what it is?
Yeah, county supervisor.
County supervisor.
Yeah.
San Martin's District, really not into District the political five. Side, so you know you have to kind of float a little bit with.
I just love characters, man. I'm just like, I'm a character guy. I will find out the best thing. We had Martha McSally here, and I was like, she's so great. Hyper.
Oh, she
that's,
is.
That's all I could talk about. And then Lynn had all these great questions. I was like, well, I would have never asked her
never
that question.
Of that one.
Okay. Anyways, thanks, Chris, for letting us know.
Yeah. Anyway, this is Jack Smith. He's our district supervisor on the board of District 5 supervisor
right.
on the board of supervisors for Yavapai County.
Yep.
And your district's huge.
No, it's actually the smallest of all the counties, or of all the districts. Reason being is we go by head count. So typically we represent about 42 to 43,000 people per supervisor. So I don't have a lot of the rural areas except for Groom Creek and Potato Patch and Walker. Diamond Valley is kind of rural because that's county as well, even though it sits between two metropolitans, Prescott and Prescott Valley. But then bulk of my district is Prescott Valley.
Oh, gotcha.
So part of Prescott as well. I go all the way up to the mall. So I'm the center district holding everything together. So.
Yeah. Well, Prescott Valley, I mean, that's huge. I mean, population-wise, but
yeah, it's booming.
And what you were saying now you can hear us is
we're not lip-syncing.
Yeah, we're not lip-syncing. Is Jack was saying what does the Board of Supervisors do? A lot of people have that question, and it's worth repeating.
Yeah, and just so everybody knows, we do set the tax rate for the county. So, and that's one of our big responsibilities. We have over $200 million budget that we have to finesse throughout the year and make sure that we're spending the right money and where we're spending it and so on and so forth. So when you look at your tax bill, though, only about 15 to 17% of that is county. The rest of it has to do with special districts. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times we get the bad news. We say, oh, you guys are charging me too much. Well, we send out the tax bill, so we get the finger pointing going on. But for the most part, a county supervisor, if you look at the rural areas outside of metropolitan areas, you have your county supervisor who acts like a council/mayor. So that district supervisor who's elected to that district, such as District 5, so if Diamond Valley had a road issue, they would come to me and say, hey, we have a problem with this road. Can you help us out? I would then in turn take it to the Board of Supervisors, and we would vote on when that priority would come forward or when it would be part of the budget. So as a collective, then we take care of the entire county.
Yeah, and that's the way I've always looked at you, is kind of you are the mayor of our district.
Yes.
And I say ours because you are, I live in District 5. He is my supervisor, so I'm sure you know, I type my emails and I send it and he's like, oh gosh, what does he want again? But anyway, no, I'm just kidding. He never says that.
Point the finger.
Because he always, you know, the one thing about Jack, and I would tell you, he's so accessible. He's transparent. He's... we were just talking before we went on the air. Where's Waldo? Where's Jack? You can follow him on Facebook, like Jack R. Smith. It's
Jack Smith AZ.
AZ.
Yep.
And you will see. You know, I'm in Potato Patch. I'm in Diamond Valley. Right. I'm in Walker. He literally travels a lot and meets with his constituents and talks about what's going on. So with that, let's talk about what's going on. What's on your radar right now, Jack?
Well, as you know, I just got back from Washington, D.C., mm-hmm. And part of that trip is actually paid for by NACO, the National Association of Counties, as well as the Board of Supervisors. And I'm very thankful because I was one of two supervisors throughout the entire nation that was invited to go to the Criminal Justice Summit at the White House. And totally unexpected, I actually got this email, and it was dated for April 1st was the day that we were going to be there. So I'm thinking one of my fellow supervisors is pulling my leg at this point, you know, and there's something going on. And sure enough, my assistant, Cynthia Gentle, she actually, you know, went and clicked the link and it took us right to the White House. And she was able to speak with them directly and say, no, this is for real. This is not fake.
Where's the camera?
The president has invited you to come. So we jumped through some hoops and went there. And glad we did, because I'm on the Mental Health Coalition for Yavapai County. I'm on the executive board. And working with our sheriff's department here, we have a phenomenal group of folks that want to decriminalize mental illness. They don't want to use our jails as a kind of a place where we don't know what to do with this person, just put them in jail. That makes no sense. So what our sheriff's office does, and I got to give them all the kudos for this, because they are out front of this, jumping through hoops, trying to make sure that they're reducing recidivism. So people aren't just repeating, going to jail, going to jail, going to jail. They're actually interviewing people when they come into jail. So if somebody's charged with a crime, okay, so they burglary or something, they go in there, yeah, they're charged with a crime, but what's the underlying problem? Maybe they have an addiction to heroin or some type of mental illness that was never identified. So right now the jail is working on identifying those issues and getting that person the help they need when they're outside of jail through private organizations and whatnot. So that they don't recidivate. They don't come back to our jails. Because once you're in jail, you tend to, after about 3 days, the psychologists and psychiatrists and everybody, they say you start to assimilate yourself into that background. We all do it, right?
Yeah.
You go into a foreign country, your accent, your mind does, it changes. I go to Mexico, yeah. I have.
You all of a sudden have an accent.
Everybody thinks I speak.
Suddenly jalapeno yeah. sounds a lot different. Jalapenos.
It does. You assimilate yourself to your surroundings. So our sheriff's office has done a phenomenal job. I'm one of the supervisors that loves them, and the whole board is backing them in their endeavors to decriminalize mental illness, try to bring a mental illness facility here so that we can deal with these issues a lot better.
And it keeps them out of the jail. Because
absolutely.
When we're talking about jail, the cost to are the taxpayers.
The cost to the taxpayers. So we've got about a $214 million budget this year, a little bit more. So you figure those are all tax dollars coming in. Well, 52% of those tax dollars is criminal justice. That's your courts. That's your probation. That's your sheriff's office. That's your jail. You figure if somebody goes into jail, mm-hmm. that's $100 a day.
Yeah.
Just average it, $100 a day. And if you figure throughout the United States, why this became a federal issue was because throughout the United States, there's over 11 million people that go in and out of our jail systems throughout the United States. And where do you think the jail systems feed? They feed into the prison systems, okay? And then even the federal prison system. So that's something that even our president, who is doing an amazing job, build the wall. Sorry, if you're not for it, I'm sorry, but I am. Build the wall, because it doesn't just deal with immigration. Mm-hmm. It deals with all that transporting people that against their will, you know, slavery, mm-hmm. Human trafficking, all this stuff. It goes into that. What about drugs? You can ask the sheriff's office, or you can see it on Facebook. Dwight D'Evelyn is the PIO for the sheriff's office. He posts all the time the amount of drugs that are pouring into Yavapai County coming from our border. Mm-hmm. It is ridiculous. So this is a tool that helps Border Patrol get things done. So I don't want to go too much on the federal level, but...
I'm sitting here and I was like, last night I was watching a comedy show. Look at this meme not being political. And the guy was an Asian from China. He goes, yeah, man, I like to build that wall. And he goes, in about 6 days, we're going to go ahead and utilize it as a tour place. You know how they did in China?
Yeah,
they built the wall.
The big wall.
And then he goes, in 6 weeks, it'll be a tourism spot. It was a joke. It was a joke, but I like the things that that are happening. Once again, I'm not political. Yeah.
No.
Well, I'm here for the jokester stuff.
I think that... You were talking about you going to Washington. That was for the criminal justice where he signed the reform on criminal justice. So, that was really kind of cool. Because, again, if you're following Jack on Facebook, he's posting pictures all the way through that. Yep. And it was really, really neat. Another thing, we talk about the wall. As a constituent, I saw you met with Martha McSally about the wall. And I was able to put feed in right away to Jack saying, hey, Jack, it's me, Glenn. Support the wall, Yeah. And like within 10 minutes or 15 minutes, I get you got it, Glenn. We're going to be talking about that. So again, one of the guys that, and I was telling Jack this the other day, coming from California, when you want to talk to a supervisor, you got to put yourself on a roster and wait and try to, Jack has coffee every month with his constituents over at Stepping Stones.
Yeah.
And is very open to anybody who wants to email him, send him a text, whatever. And he sends it back right away. And
try to anyway.
And And the thing is about we'll talk, and just kind of like what we talked about with Ken Bennett last week was, we may not always agree, but he's always there, and he's going to give his opinion. He's going to be honest with you and give his opinion. And that's, that's golden with where I sit. Let's talk about reelection, if we can, a little bit. Your goals this time, did you have any I know you had goals, but were they met? Were you successful?
Like, I have them.
Of course he does.
To establish them.
Pretty much everything that we brought forward. You got the Citizens Academy out there. That was an initiative started about 2 years ago. Yeah. And we of course, the whole jail district thing. We had a whole snafu. We did first time, second time, jail district. It was a smart move by our constituents up here. They're smart. It's not like somewhere else. It's like, I'll just vote for whoever I know or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's they want to get informed and they keep themselves informed. So about this was a funding mechanism for our jail system. And instead of it coming directly out of our general fund, they understood the need to have the jail district continued. So we got that done as a board. We were pretty focused on that. But, you know, having that Citizens Academy in place, that's, again, more transparency. Mm-hmm. So I'm a firm believer that, you know, when I came into this job, I believe, and I still believe, that I work for the citizens. And if they can't get a hold of me and I don't talk to them directly, even when they have a negative thing to say to me, I mean, I've been called a few choice words, you know, I'm under the impression of let people get it out. Talk to me. Let me know what you think. You know, I will try to get back to you as quickly as I can, but not always, like you said, are you going to like the answer? Because everything we do as a county supervisor, believe it or not, because we're a political subdivision of the state, everything we do is governed by statute, which means there's a law for pretty much anything and everything we do. So you'll see the lawyers sitting with us. You'll see the lawyers always, you know, giving us advice and stuff like that, because we need to stay within the scope of the law. And that's important. But as far as the projects we've gotten done, we've done a lot of great things. Sunset Lane. Let's talk about that for a million.
Yes.
$7 million. Let's put it that way. Yes. Last couple of board meetings or council meetings over at the Prescott Valley Council Chambers, we partnered with them on this project because about 3 years ago, we noticed that the amount of cars going into this residential area off of, and if you don't know where it's at, if you know where Fry's and Kohl's is at, and that's Sunset Lane that goes from Florentine to Sunset Lane right in there from Glassford Hill. And there was about 5,500 cars going through there in a 24-hour period. Residential area, average speed about 32 miles an hour. So I got with the board of supervisors, of course, and, you know, kind of voiced my opinion and everything. They helped me get this onto the five-year plan and get this established, some money's going. In the meantime, went over to the town of Prescott Valley, said, hey, this is an issue, got with their council. They said, we see it as an issue as well. There's no sidewalks. It's a two-lane, you know, very small roadway. We've had many accidents on there. So the improvements basically are coming to fruition. It's finally getting there.
Yeah, and that last was pretty night, crazy.
It's kind of neat yeah. to see something.
Yeah. It is. It's really neat to see all the improvements that are going to go on there. So you're talking sidewalks on both sides. You're talking street lights, and thanks to APS putting in the street lights. We're upgrading our fire plugs in there, the fire hydrants, mm-hmm. believe it or not. And someone on Facebook actually brought that up and said, hey, Jack, what about the fire hydrants? You haven't mentioned that. Well, I neglected to mention it. You're right, because I just forgot.
Yeah.
And sure enough, the water and the fire hydrants are being upgraded in that corridor to better suppress fire and whatnot. But sidewalks both sides, you got a center turn lane now. So we know how frustrating it is when traffic backs up because you're waiting for one person to turn left and the traffic's coming. With that many cars, there is a potential that you're going to have that. We must have a question.
No,
yes.
Trump again.
Trump,
you know?
Calling Glenn.
And I keep telling him, I said, this is not a crisis. Okay?
That is so funny.
I put it on mute, except he always goes through that emergency broadcast system.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He knows how to program your phone.
He's building walls, I'm building streets.
Leave me alone, okay? We're talking to Jack.
We got important things to do.
Yeah, no kidding. We're talking about left turn lanes, okay?
Yes.
But no,
this one's going to have a center lane all the way down Sunset Lane. And what's nice, too, is that through this partnership, is the county not only got to partner and be a part of this, but the town's going to be taking over the roadway all the way through the county portion up to Prescott East Highway. Mm-hmm. So it's a win for the county. It's a win for flood control because when the monsoons go through that area and they will pound one side on the south side of that roadway
yep.
and flood it out. Mm-hmm. Homes, you probably saw the pictures and people scrambling trying to, you know, because there's only so much water can go through that one little pipes
yep.
on those home streets. So we're doing a full storm drain. You know, it's going to have flood control is very much a part of this, and it's going to have just huge amounts of improvements to be able to move that water away from those homes and whatnot.
A sidewalk?
Sidewalks both sides.
Everybody's going to be happy with that one. Prescott Valley has no sidewalks unless you go to like the new developed spots. It's amazing.
Yep.
Yeah. But this expensive. Is cool to hear because Prescott Valley needs to upgrade just a tad bit.
Yep. Yeah, no. And
well,
they're
again,
doing a great job.
I bring back, you know, Jack, you work pretty good with the council with Prescott Valley.
Yes.
I see a lot of communication back and forth between the county and Prescott Valley. And matter of fact, if Marty's listening right now, we're going to have Marty Grossman on here in the next couple of weeks. So, and talk about a little bit about what's going on in Prescott Valley. But today's Jack's turn. So
we have a question from Mr. Cucinho. He says the Levy for CYFD, Central Yavapai Fire District,
okay.
has increased over 44% in the last 6 years. Do the soups have supervisors have to approve the levy, and what do you think of the increase?
That's actually a great question, and I'm glad Chris asked that, because a lot of people, I didn't even know when before I got into government how everything works. And quite frankly, as a normal citizen, are you really responsible for knowing every aspect of it? No. That's why we elect officials that we trust to go out there and do that. So the simple answer is no. We have nothing to do with special districts. Okay, they are their own taxing authority. They have their own responsibility of their boards and whatnot and whatever they do. What comes to the Board of Supervisors is basically their budget comes to us, we look at it and we go, looks like a budget, and we send it off to the treasurer and we advise the treasurer to go ahead and take care of this. That's all we do. So beyond that, we have no authority. Input,
no.
Well, as elected officials, we have inputs to their elected officials on their boards. Mm-hmm. But as far as how their day-to-day operation handles, mm-hmm. that's up to their boards and their actual district.
So well, there you go, Mr. Cruz.
It's a great question because a lot of people, they do. They go, well, this has to go before the Board of Supervisors and you'll see it on our agenda. Yeah. Well, we like to call it as supervisor. It's a pass-through. We check, dot the I's, cross the T's, make sure it's a budget and it's... And we send it up to the treasurer, and the treasurer gets to do what the treasurer does as an elected official as well.
And is that something that is legally, we talk about being legal?
Yep. Mm-hmm. All right. Oh, yes, Cynthia. Yes, Cynthia is now on the fire board for Central Yavapai. So she got on, she got appointed. And I don't know whose position she took, but yeah, she was
Vicki Lee.
Vicki Lee Jacobs. Mm-hmm. Okay. But she was very excited and she had come to me and she said, do you think it'd be okay if I did this? I said, let's do what we always do. Let's go through legal and make sure you're okay to do it because it's been, well, Cynthia Gentle is my executive assistant in my office. And if you've ever called the office, she's the one that actually does the work. So I just, you know, I'm the face of everything.
You know, I didn't want to say
that. I'm going to get into politics, man. I mean, we can get an executive assistant. I'm going into politics. Yeah.
It's like we talked about this the other day, and I said, you know, when you really want something done, call Cynthia.
Yes.
She'll get it through, you know.
Absolutely.
Like, but in all honesty, you know, when you speak to Cynthia, you are speaking to you.
Yes.
I mean, in a roundabout way,
one of the first things I did when I come into office, and the same thing when I was with Ace and when I was with Pepsi, I like to put the ownership on people because people do a great job. Mm-hmm. Okay, just because you're a leader of the organization shouldn't be the one that's doing everything mm-hmm. or making all the decisions. You can't do that on your own. You have mm-hmm. to bring people in and ask questions. You can't just immediately assume you're going to have the answer.
Yeah.
So, and with Cynthia, it was easy. She has a great background, financial. She used to do loans and this type of stuff. So she had critical thinking mm-hmm. That was really needed for the office. And when she came in, just things started to evolve. And I don't want a constituent to call in. And if I'm in a meeting, they can't get the answer. Mm-hmm. That to me doesn't work. You need to be able to call the office and say, hey, I've got a problem with this road. And Cynthia can immediately go, I'm going to get Public Works on that. We're going to get an answer for you today, even though Supervisor Smith may be unavailable down at the legislature or whatever else. So that's the way I operate. It's not all about me.
And that's a perfect scenario because, again, living in District 5, I had a problem with, we live on a dead end street and people would pull down that street and then they'd turn around and go, you know, they didn't know it was dead end. So I talked to Cynthia and said, can we get like a little sign or something that says, you know, not a through street? So she got a hold of Public Works and they came out and they put this little sign up on top of the stop sign. And I took a picture of it, you know, and I'm thinking, okay, hey, thanks, Cynthia. And she goes, that's unacceptable. Next thing I know, man, I got this big old bright, you know, this is not a thrill treat. So she does a great job. And again, things that, you know, you've got other things going on and responsibilities and she handles and she does a great job.
She really does.
And she's a very, very good person, a great person.
Well, and getting back to the fire board, she was very much interested in being a part of like the fire board or something, you know, beyond her role within the office. And it's perfectly legal, and I admire people wanting to step forward and be a part of other processes and whatnot and getting involved in their community.
You know, we should have Cynthia on Prescott Talks.
Hey, there you go.
See? All of a sudden, she's like,
sure, you put me in the middle.
Come on down, Cynthia. We'll put you in the center seat.
She'd be good.
The hot seat.
No doubt. we were talking the other day about we're having coffee, something about the Health and Human Services. They're going up. The cost of health and service, that department is actually starting to charge more.
Right.
Can you hit on that a little bit, Jack, the fee?
Yeah. So you may remember in 2016, there was a fee increase that came along to the Board of Supervisors, and we pretty much are in charge of those types of things, so we have to approve them. And I voted no on it because there was a fund balance within that line item. So in 2016, they did raise fees. It was a 4-1 vote, and they did raise fees. And now they're coming back to the board and saying, okay, we need to raise fees again. Now, understand that these fees pay for the services that are provided. Okay, they're not going into a fund, and they never should. That was the problem I had in 2016. So that's done with. And now they're looking at just supplying funds for their operation. Okay, so that's why the increase is needed. Now, I don't have necessarily a problem with the increase, except it hurts our restaurants. Because our restaurants, I mean, think about the food costs these days. I love a cheeseburger and fries, and I used to be able to go out there and get it for $8. You know, now it's $12. Mm-hmm. And it's not because they want to charge more to become richer. For me, what I see, it's because food costs have gone up. The cost of doing business has gone up. You know, you have to have all your health cards. You have to have this. You have to have that.
Minimum wage
has gone up. And oh, I went off about that a few years ago. And that was actually another reason why in 2016 I voted against it, because not just the minimum wage. So when people, I'm the legislative policy advisor for Yavapai County. And when you're doing this job, you realize that what of the bill people see is this much. The rest of the bill is what hurts you.
Yeah.
That's what you don't know about. And in that particular one, it also said that they needed to raise and provide benefits. So, I mean, you think of a high school student that's working bus and table. Now we got to provide them with healthcare benefits. And do they really need it? Do they want it? Now, you know, they're paying for these things. And then on top of that, we're raising fees. Again, I get it. The fees are paying for the services that are provided. The problem I have this time around is the schools. The schools are always getting the short end of the stick, and I am just tired of education being on the back burner and the first thing that people can pull money from. So I'm sitting here going, wait a minute. You know, we already subsidize the fees for school inspections to a degree of about $25,000 right now. And I don't know what the percentage is prorated, but it's significant. So throughout Yavapai County, they're paying about $25,000 right now. If these fees adjust and they go up, which I'm sure they will, because it makes sense, you have to pay for that operation, it's going to go up to over $40,000 that is attributed to the schools having to pay into that. Now, the schools get money from the state. The state is mandated to have these inspections done. The problem I have here, again, one is, wait a minute, the state's funding them, but then they're saying now you have to pay the county because the county has to do these inspections. Well, wait a minute, did you guys pay for these inspections in their budget? We don't know if they did or not. And I'm pretty sure they don't have a line item in there that said this is for health inspections, which are required by law. So I'm turning it around going, wait a minute, we have a contract with the state, and the state's saying we're going to authorize you to charge those schools for services that you're doing. I said, that doesn't make sense. You guys are mandated by law to do these inspections. Mm-hmm. So you should be doing them under your dime, not under the school's dime. And I know it equates to a very small amount. It's $40,000 to government. That's not even a drop in the tax bucket, right? Mm-hmm. But to me, every cent counts. So that's a fence. That's a pay for more teacher increases in having more aides in the classroom, teacher assistants. And I mean, you got 32, 40 kids in a classroom. They need every penny they can get.
Yeah, they need all the education.
You see teachers going to and buying supplies for their classrooms. Because
a lot of teachers doing it.
And I'm not saying, and I know a lot of us, oh, your kids are out of school and everything else, but it's taking care of the next generation. So we need to be mindful of that, in my opinion. I think the board, and I'm going to be asking the Board of Supervisors to basically negate this cost, put it into the general fund for right now, but I want to go back to the state. And I want to take this contract. We have a 90-day out clause on it. I want to take that 90-day. I want to give them notice that we're going to cancel this contract with them. And we're going to ask them to pay the fees for the schools for Yavapai County and see what happens. They can say no.
Yeah.
But we can say no, too, in contracting with them, saying, then you're going to pay for your own inspections. You're going to do your own inspections.
You know, this brings, I'm doing a lot of food truck things. And, you know, ever since Governor Ducey passed the new law where we could have food trucks locally here at Prescott.
Yep.
Well, I have food trucks that want to travel up from Maricopa, and then as soon as they hit, you know, Yavapai, the fees are just like outrageous. And I'm just thinking to myself, well, how are they supposed to come in, and how are we supposed to do these little festivals without the cost on top of it?
Right.
So let's talk a little bit about food trucks.
Okay.
It's a new thing.
It is a new thing.
The Yavapai Health Department is a little bit I don't know what to call them right now, but I'm just like, man, you're really putting a dent in my stuff.
You know, and I heard, and I could be wrong, I'm not real fluid on food trucks and the inspection process for that. Obviously, I've gone through the whole inspection process for restaurants and for the schools. But my understanding is they tried to streamline that so that it was just a boom, one time, here you go, let's go.
Yeah, it is. In most cases, it's costly for the first time.
Yeah.
And they're like, you're running a business. This is what happens. I'm like, what? And especially if you do it in Maricopa, you get your health department.
Yep.
The health department says, hey, you're good to go for the whole year, but not in Yavapai. And they can't transfer that over, or they can't say, hey, you know, let's go ahead and, you know, minimize this cost or something. I mean,
sure.
It's just something that is like, it hasn't been really dealt with yet here in our local area, but man, it's really rough for
And you know, you guys. You bring up a good question, because if it's good in Maricopa County, or if it's good in Cochise County, or if it's good in Coconino County, why wouldn't it be good in Yavapai County?
Yep.
So if you were mandated and said, okay, here, you need to get a health inspection thing, and whatever county you're in, that's good, but that should be good for the entire state.
Yeah, there should be a cost if they want to travel, because obviously it's a food truck and they want to travel. They have festivals. We're doing the Party in the Pines, and then all of a sudden I have all these great little spots and all these people that really invest their time and money into it. And then they're like, oh, we don't want to come up there, because by the time we actually move up there, it's going to cost us like $300 to $400. To get involved with this little scenario, and they're like, and we don't even know how many people you're going to go ahead and pay for these meals and stuff. So
if you're not on a podcast with Prescott Talks and you had that kind of question, that would be something that you would email Jack.
Yes.
And
I didn't even know where to go with it.
Go to Jack.
Trust me, it's on my radar now, because that will save money in the long run to the taxpayer, because I don't have to redo the process. You have a current health inspection. It's kind of like a driver's license in my book. You're good. All right, we're good. Now, they can still do individual inspections on you.
Yeah,
they can come in and do an inspection and say, okay, we're just going to hit you this time. And if they find violations, that's when they charge you.
Mm-hmm.
But if they don't find violations, maybe that should be. And I'm thinking, if we're not doing the inspections and the permits and whatnot, we're saving money.
Yep.
Less people that have to do that job. And let me put a disclaimer out there for our health department and our inspectors and everything else. They do a phenomenal job.
Yeah, no, yeah. Okay. I feel like they're doing a good job.
Yeah. Leslie Horton.
Leslie Horton's group, Cecil.
She does.
These folks are so committed. I actually went out on a ride. You know how active I am. Mm-hmm. I went on a ride with one of the inspectors. Mm-hmm. And the things that they have to go through just to show up at a restaurant and say, I'm here, I'm doing an inspection. Restaurants can't tell them no. They go in. They walk right in, and they're in their kitchen going, well, who are you? Yeah, I'm with the health department. I'm doing an inspection. So these folks do a phenomenal job. So I want to make sure that's very clear.
Nope.
The job at a board of supervisors, 90% of it is budgeting and making sure that each dollar counts. I'm extremely conservative, and I'm about spending money. I'll spend money as long as it makes sense.
Yep.
Okay. If it doesn't make sense, I'm going to complain about it, and I don't care if anybody likes it or not. That's what my constituents expect.
Yep.
And these and the checkbook.
These guys are
it's personal to me.
The health inspectors, they've been showing up to every one of the events to go ahead and do their inspections, even after they already been cleared and done all the due diligence. But for some reason, because of the new law that passed this year, they're really attacking the food trucks, as far as like, we want to be there, we want to make sure. And it's just like, they're going to be there tomorrow. Actually, we have one out in Chino Valley, and they're going to be there.
Okay.
They're going to show up. They're going to be like, hey, man, I'm here. I'm like, all right, do what you got to do. And I'm on private land. I'm like, man, this is like a barbecue with a bunch of food. But they're not seeing it that way.
well, and food trucks have become a huge industry.
It is.
I mean, you see it on TV. You see the wars going back and forth and who's the best and everything. And I like it, you know.
Yeah, I like tasting all those food at one time.
Yep.
I know. He gets all the good gigs.
Yeah. I try to create all the good ones, but at the same time, man, there's some things that are just not happening, you know, and that's one of them. That's definitely one of them.
Before we shift off to what we were talking about with the money, and when I use the word shift, I'm going there. So the plan with the school, I know you're going to talk about that with the other board. Is that not a tax shift in a way, or is that You know what I mean? Are we not taking money from the from one fund and moving it to another fund and
kind of
doing this kind of stuff with it?
It's kind of like when Yavapai County, this is just me thinking out loud.
Yeah.
It's like Yavapai County paying sales tax.
Mm-hmm.
Where does that sales tax go? Down to the state? Where does the state pay? The state pays the county. It's like, wait a minute. What's going on here? You know, we're just like a nonprofit. We are a nonprofit.
Yeah.
We're not here to do anything like that, but we still pay sales tax on many things that I'm sitting here going, why are we paying that?
That's a great question. Does Yavapai have a surplus? You know, we were talking last week about how we have the surplus of money and all these billions of dollars until we bring up PSPRS, and then all of a sudden the surplus looks pretty small, if anything.
Yeah.
But Yavapai County?
It's not called a surplus.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we do have a capital fund,
mm-hmm.
all right, and that capital fund is only about almost $14 million right now. Now, a county our size, you should be telling yourself right now, wow, that's slow. Because if we go into a recession again and we have to start cutting back and tapering things back the way we did back in the other recession, then that contingency or that capital fund will help support those missions that we have out there. And we don't have to get rid of health inspectors. We don't have to say, hey, no more deputy sheriffs, no more detention officers, no more doctors. You know, there's a lot of different things that government does. And it's kind of like that old adage that, you know, you don't want to pay taxes, but you want your road improved.
Yeah.
You've got to have one or the other. And
we're going to go down that road.
Yeah.
We're definitely not going down that road.
But,
and this is the reason why I don't want to become a politician. You're asking all these questions. I'm like, why are we doing it that way? It doesn't make no sense. I'm like the simple guy, too. I'm very conservative about everything. I'm like, why do we have to pay for that? And why does it have to be like that? Why can't it just be like this?
Yep.
And simplicity is definitely not on the agenda of politicians.
Not all the time. up here, honestly, we do a great job. Yavapai County is seen as a very forward-looking county. Each board member, we don't always get along. Rolly said that the other day at a meeting, and he's right, we don't. But that's good. We shouldn't get along because we're not one mind. We're five minds trying to figure out how we're best going to suit the problem that's in front of us. And even though we may, you know, argue or we may, you know, disagree with things, at the end of the day, I see more of our responsibility to the public. And whether it be, you know, I've brought buildings up, we need to consolidate, we need to get rid of these 1956 buildings that are falling apart full of asbestos, you know, and yet, nope, it's not time. And okay, well, we'll wait, you know. I'm not throwing my fist up or going on social media and slamming the other supervisors because that really does no good. Mm-hmm. We work together very well here as an elected body, believe it or not. And it's pretty cool to see because I go all over the state through the legislative process and I talk with other supervisors or the councils and everything and they're like, wow, you guys really got, and I'm not plugging everything. I'm just saying that's the truth.
No, here. He's very true because I see Jack and I kind of move around a little bit and I'll be, you know, driving down the highway. There goes Jack. Like I said, I follow you on Facebook. I've been in the hallways at the Capitol and all of a sudden, Jack Smith, you know.
There I am.
And there he is. So he is. He's pretty much all over. He's downtown. Right. He's down in down in Phoenix and now in Washington. So, you know, I kind of kiddingly on Facebook. Mr. Smith goes to Washington. It has a ring to it. I'm not sure. But anyway, I want to, you know, I know we're kind of running short on time, and I just have a few things I want to hit, and just lightly, Jack, and any comments. Jack Smith's opinion, Red for Ed, yay or nay, good or bad, don't support it.
It supports the teachers. And it's kind of like I said, I didn't appreciate how it was done. Okay. Mm-hmm. Teachers should be in the classroom and teaching, and quite frankly, politicians should be fighting for those teachers to get good pay. My wife's a teacher. Mm-hmm. I can tell you right now, she doesn't get good pay for what she does. She gives 110%, and I would bet you 99.9% of the teachers out there, they don't do this for the pay. They do it because they want to bring up that next generation. They really want to inspire someone. So the increase, totally support. I think for too many years, and I'm saying it with this fee, the state has eroded away the budget on the schools, and that needs to stop. Education should be right up there with public safety because we're educating the next generation. They're taking over for us, folks. We're going to be in the old folks' home waiting, seeing what they're doing, and do we want their education to be subpar or not? So that's where I stand on that.
License tax, $32 license tax.
Yes.
Where do you stand on that?
Leave it alone. We knew what was going to happen last year. We knew that it was up there. But anytime you have a bill that you say you go to somebody who's not elected and say, go ahead and set the fee rate on this, that's what you're going to get. Okay. And the director said, this is what we need to start moving things forward. For years, you guys know that the gas tax has not been raised. Okay. I don't like to pay taxes just like everybody else. But when you're in this job and you see what pays for what, a lot of people say, I pay my property tax. I don't need, you know, why aren't my roads fixed up? I don't need, you know, a gas tax. Well, the gas tax is what pays for your roads. The $32, that's what pays for your roads. Okay, so, or pays for DPS now, because those folks need to be paid as well. Our law enforcement officers starting out $50,000 for walking down a sidewalk and people spitting on you or doing this and that. That's just not acceptable. That uniform means I'm willing to stand up for the person laying on the ground. And think about it. Would any of us do that walking down the street? I mean, we'd probably get pummeled, right? These folks do it out of passion, out of respect, and out of courage. And that's how I feel. So
you already hit my gas tax. I was going to ask gas that. Tax, so license fee or, yeah. and gas tax were a couple of questions I had.
You know, and that's going to float. Yeah. That $32 fee is going to float around. I pay it as well, so it's not like politicians are getting over or anything. I think it does hurt those who have private, you know, collections and cars. I think we could have taken it a step further to say, okay, maybe it deals with mileage. Maybe it deals with something else.
Noel said that it was the hybrids. You know, the hybrids are going to be prominent on the road, and they're not going to need too much gas, so they're not paying.
Well, they're going to pay the $32 fee, but he was talking about a fee for the use of the roads versus taking it out of the fuel tax.
And that's something I've said too with the fuel tax is you're not dealing with capacity. Yeah. You know, once you put 50 cars on the road, you're good. Mm. Once you put 500 cars on the road, you're not good anymore. You need to build more roads. And if only 50 of those cars are paying for those roads, then it's really not fair.
Those diesel guys, man.
Natural gas guys.
Huh? You know, and whether you like Representative Campbell or not, I'm going to throw a plug out for him. This guy has stood up exactly what he has said he is going to do. He has been pummeled at the legislature as well as by private citizens by, you just want to raise taxes. You just want to do this. And I've actually had representatives on the floor with Representative Campbell with me look right in the face and say, I'm a conservative. I don't raise taxes. And I want to say, conservative doesn't mean you don't raise taxes. Conservative just makes sure that pays for something that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, don't vote for something. And then as a constituent, I'm not a vote for this because it's going to pay for this. And then all of a sudden it gets swept and put into another fund. I am sick of that. And so is the public. Mm. Okay. So Mr. Campbell actually went forward and wrote something that made sense and said, this can't be swept.
Yeah.
This goes to roads, period. And he's been working tirelessly for years on this initiative. And I think had he have gotten it through, he probably would have retired and just enjoyed life a little bit stress-free. but I'm just putting it out there. The man has I have a deep respect for him. Whether you like him or not, whether you like any legislator or not, you got to realize that he went down there to work for the citizens of Yavapai, and he did a great job.
He's doing
a great job.
He needs to change his. We said, hey, save the roads rather than tax the gas. He needed to come up with a new campaign.
Well, you know, again, what I was, you know, I threw that question out on Facebook one day. What do you think of the gas tax? And of course, everybody, and I'm included with you. You know, I don't want to pay it, but when I go down Highway 69, when I'm driving down and make a turn and I change lanes without trying to change lanes. Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, sooner or later, we're going to have to do it. And maintaining roads, much cheaper than building them.
Yeah.
And one of the things I was like, took back when you were talking about building a road, it's like $1 million a mile.
Yeah, an average, if you want to picture something like that, because of the engineering that goes into it. Yeah. About $1 million a road. But I'll also say this, you know, you're not for taxes, but you're for the benefits of taxes. Mm-hmm. And I am a firm believer that as inflation goes on, us as citizens, we realize that things are going to happen.
Yeah.
Okay. And taxes may have to go up this much or this much, just inch it forward so that we're staying on top of our game and not worry. When you go years and years and years and years without raising that tax, but everything else has gone up, and then all of a sudden you're hitting the citizens with, hey, it's going to cost you a 500% increase. That's where I have a problem. It's like, don't hit me all at once. I get the incremental. Don't hit me all at once because you guys didn't do your job. So I may be speaking too much, but
no,
you know what you get with me. And you know, I respect them down there. They're working hard. They need a pay raise, folks. $24,000 a year for your legislators. Come on, you get what you. I'm not going to say that, but anyway, you know, they do a lot of hard work down
they
there.
They do. So. And it's not just during the session. I mean, I know Noel. Yeah. He's out on the road. He's meeting with the people and talking to different events. So it's not just like, the 4 months or 3 months or whatever they do in their session. So kind of wrapping this down a little bit, you know, Jack, we kind of on this podcast, we wanted to get to know you.
Yeah.
Can we get you back and get maybe get back into a little bit more of the meat potatoes, what's going on within the county now that we kind of know who Jack is? We'll talk a little bit more about the taxes. We'll talk about a little bit more about some of the projects that are going on and some of the things that are happening within the county, I think.
I have a lot of questions. I'm just sitting here because I'm just like, man, we have to cut this short today. And I'm like, man, I want to ask you so many things.
I know.
But it's fun to go ahead and be a part of this. And just like you said earlier, I'm not in politics or anything, but some days I just want to know more. But and this is a good start.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, I'll throw it out there too. When you're electing somebody, elect somebody that's wanting to work. Okay, a lot of people ask me all the time, is this really a busy job? I mean, do you really? I mean, can't you? You could have a second job.
We laugh because I know the guy.
I'm laughing because of all the things he's talking about right now. I'm like, my brain is already fried. This is going to go crazy for you.
Right. Man. See the gray hair?
Yeah.
Let's not go there, Jack. I'm 26 years old, folks.
And Glenn is 25.
Yeah. So, just because I know him.
Yeah. And I'm 41, guys, and I don't have none of that gray hair going on. So
we work for the people, and that's something I take very personal.
Yes. This is a great opportunity to meet you and to learn more about you. And I really do want to be more involved, and if I can, I want to be able to stay on the sidelines where I could just be the citizen and not the politician.
Yeah. Well, don't be afraid to ask the questions. Don't be afraid. If you don't get a call back or you're a politician, politicians used to be a good word, and it still is with a lot of us, okay?
Yeah.
If you have a question, ask the question. If you don't get the response that you're wanting, go to the next guy or gal and keep plugging away. We work for you. That's it. We work for the citizens. And if somebody doesn't believe that and they think they're up on this higher echelon and they can't be touched, well, the next election's coming up.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm definitely calling about the food trucks.
How do we get a hold of you, Jack? Your telephone numbers, email.
Yep. So my cell phone number, I'm going to put it out there because I put it out there all the time, 928-499-7713. You can keep running this back until you get that number down. Call me. If I'm in a meeting, I won't answer the phone, but I will call you back. If you leave a message, please leave a message and let me know what's going on. Because a lot of times I can get the answer and have the answer for you before I call you back. If you're just calling up to yell at me, let me give you a different number. No, I'm just kidding.
He's looking at my phone.
We already have all your stuff up here. We have your website. Perfect. We have your website. We have your Facebook page. We have every kind of contact that we could go ahead and get a hold of you on. Right. So that's pretty big, man. You have a lot of ways to get a hold of you.
Yeah,
and Cynthia, I heard, was the next best in line.
Well, and again, first line of defense, I'm in a lot of meetings. Cynthia speaks for me. Mm-hmm. Okay, so when she's out there and she I need to have somebody in the office who's actually able to fix something or change or make a phone call. If it's just waiting for me, it's going to take a while. So,
Jack, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Really appreciate you coming.
All right, guys. I really appreciate you. Thank you so very much. Now, don't forget, we always put these podcasts up. There's going to be the audio and then also the video, as you see right now. And if there is one, any kind of you can't hear our voice and stuff, well, we'll have this set up probably about Saturday or Sunday. We'll see what happens. But thank you guys for joining us. Don't forget to sign up to the newsletter.
Thank you.
Thank you.